Okay, so today we're going to talk about chronic disease trends in our schools. And neither Delta Aurora nor myself have any personal financial relationship with commercial interests relative to this presentation at all, nothing to disclose. I'll tell you a little bit about Palm Beach County. It's located in southeast Florida and is the largest county in the state of Florida, and you can see that it's got 2,386.33 square miles and is third in the population, estimated at 1,320,134 residents, give or take a few that move in and out every day. Palm Beach County was Florida's wealthiest county until the recession, with a per capita income of $44,000 in 2004, and since then it's dropped into the high 28,000 because of the recession. The school district is the fifth largest district in Florida and the 11th largest district in the continental United States. We have 187 public schools and 175,004 students currently. And you know that's the shift in sounds. The census goes up and down depending upon the school year and the transition in and out of the county. The goal of our program is to keep children healthy and ready to learn in school, which is over the years. Our program's 14 years old. It started in the fall 14 years ago. In the August, and so we started to put nurses in schools very gradually, and we now have a nurse in every regular public school in the county. It has an A rating from the Florida Department of Education for the last 7 years, and you can see the grades. We have 89 schools are A's, 22 B's, and then the remaining schools are CDs, and we don't have any F schools, which is, you know, quite a relief to our school superintendent. They've really worked very hard to remove the F schools. The Department of Exceptional Student Education assists schools by providing a free, appropriate public education for all students with disabilities from ages 3 to 21, and it's significant that we mention this because we have a lot of children in our community that actually do have exceptionalities that are accommodated within the school setting. So you can see that we have 34,000 plus ESE students, including 8,541 students in the gifted program. So those students in the gifted program, because they have, they qualify for gifted, but also may have, of course, health conditions. Many of the ESE students are mainstreamed into the regular classrooms, and the accommodations are made in the classrooms. And we tend to keep children in the classroom as much as possible. Even if it means having a health aide in the classroom with that student. Students that need special education, in the middle school and the high schools, the teacher comes into the classroom for that special education so they can stay with their peer group, which really makes a difference in terms of their, you know, behavioural and mental health and well-being. In August of 1998, the Healthcare District and Partners funded 17 nurses. In December, the program increased to 127 school nurses. And right now we have 211 registered nurses and 5 LPNs providing healthcare for students countywide. Our funding is, as you can see, is $14.295 million. We actually, the healthcare district is a primary partner, and we put over $11 million into the program. The school district funds 34 nurses. Our board at one point said, hold on, school district, we keep building new schools. 1 year we had 10 new schools, and we had to provide 10 nurses, which is quite costly. So from that point forward, the school district agreed to provide the funding for the rest of the nurses. So we've had 34 schools built since then. If we have a high volume, high acuity school, then they don't put two nurses in the school, but we actually do that. The school district supplies, we get 50 cents for each student, which is 79,000, and then we put the rest in. We put about $90,000 in, plus including the school district money for supplies. So it's, you can see the cost of the program. And, of course, the school nurses every day triage students to identify health problems. We have a very elaborate case management development system which starts at the beginning of every school year. Students that have been in the system, it gets updated. Any new students coming in, there's a completely new plan written. As children move through the grades, then that plan moves with them. We have an electronic student medical record. This will be our 10th full year that we've had the electronic record program. So we're in our 11th year now, and it's a composite of student health information. And you know, the reason we did this was because we had a lot of nurses across the county, we had all these papers and they were being filed in a lot of different places. So if you wanted a student from a high school file, you had to go in a box under the stage in the school to pull it out and go through and look at the month. And so it became very cumbersome. And we knew that there was a lot of experience in developing an electronic medical record. And we were very fortunate that our board, our healthcare board, was supportive of that fact. So that really makes a very big difference, because every service that a child delivers is in that system across the district. And even if children move from one school to another, the record gets transferred. It gets updated every night automatically. So after 5 o'clock, they do a reboot on all the student information that comes in, because we're very concerned about children being removed from school by someone that's not a person that the family's approved. The nurses are trained in first aid, CPR, and we do international trauma life support, but we don't do any, of course, intubation. So there's aspects of that that we don't do, and we do that in cooperation with our fire department, with our university. We are partners of Florida Atlantic University, and they have a big program where they train the paramedics. Nurses are skilled in the nurse assessment of the school-age child, including the implementation of a plan of care. Every student that has a health condition must have a plan of care. We have a quality assurance program that monitors this and supervises. We have 10 nursing supervisors. It's divided into 10 areas, and we have 10 nursing supervisors that check on quality assurance 3 times a year, just to make sure. So at any given time, because it's an electronic record, the supervisor can go into a student record and take a look at what the nurse is doing on any given day on any student to make sure that even if she's not there looking and talking about the care plans, she can see them electronically. So it makes a really big difference. And then nurses are also sensitive to cultural issues, working with students of very many ethnicities. We have a lot of Hispanic students, we have Haitian students, we have students from all kinds of backgrounds in Florida, but mostly we have a large Latino population. We used to have 4 languages that were translated, but now we just have Spanish and we have Creole, Haitian Creole that's translated. And I'll pass this over to Dr. Uwara, who's going to talk about the chronic disease trends.
Thanks, Aya. And actually, I'll go to this slide, because we have a tremendous number of visits. As Ann said, we have a nurse in every school, big school system. So you can see the trend here. We're up to about 700,000 visits to the nurse in all the health rooms all throughout the county. And again, having that powerful electronic medical record that kind of pulls it all together, you can kind of look at this number. And you can see there it's broken up by medication visits and non-medication visits. And, kind of looking at the trend there, we're seeing a lot more kids coming in for those medication visits. And in the past, once all the ADD drugs went to once a day and a lot of the asthma drugs are once a day, you weren't seeing the kids come in so much because they were getting dosed before school or after school or whenever their schedule was. So we're starting to see a little difference there. Also, you can see that return to class after treatment. We're running about 80%, and the schools like to see that. Keeping those kids in school means the dollars keep flowing to keep the school going. Taking a look, though, at kind of what we're seeing as far as chronic disease trends, asthma and allergy are our top ones there, as you would expect. And kind of over the years now, our student population has not changed a whole bunch during this 5-year period. And, Palm Beach County initially was getting too expensive, so a lot of young families were moving out, so we were seeing the population go down. The recession, it really kind of went down. It's about the same as it's been. So these trends then where you're seeing an increase like in the number of asthma and allergy kids being identified probably have some significance. Now, I don't know if the significance, though, is that there's more kids that have those diseases or there's just more families that are uninsured and they're using the school nurse as a source, an access point for care. And we really feel as though that's a lot of what's going on. Florida does have some good ways to get kids insurance so that when we identify that kid, we can get that kid into a SHIP program. Florida Healthy Kids is available to kids without insurance, and it's pretty reasonable. But, of course, if families aren't working and they have no income to begin with, even that may be out of the range. So seeing more kids with asthma, more kids with allergies. Palm Beach County is a big agricultural area, too, and we still have sugar cane that they burn, like a month of the year. And you will see many, many more kids coming in for asthma treatment while they're burning that sugar cane because all that particulate in the air kind of kind of starts them off. And then, you know, we had H1N1 in there in that 2009-2010, and you might have seen a little decrease, but that was because a lot of the nurses were pulled to do other activities as far as immunization, so they may not have been able to staff that clinic. See a little bit of an increase in ADD there, too, and again, is it just more kids, you know, being treated, more identified, more that we know about. Diabetes hasn't changed a whole bunch, and probably, you know, we have also been monitoring BMIs for many years in Palm Beach County, and we're running about 28% kind of obesity range, so you kind of think that that diabetes trend would be going up. So you know, we kind of keep an eye on that. Here's the typical kind of things that kids come into the health room for, you know, GI stuff, you know, stomach aches, gastroenteritis, sore throats right behind that, all sorts of skin rashes, and again, they kind of go up and down through the years too. But again, when you're looking at some of the things that have gone on, flu epidemic in 2009-2010 probably affected some of your numbers, and you know, had a lot more, you know, respiratory sore throat kind of things. So again, a lot of factors going on do affect what we see in the schools. Of course, all kids, as Ann said, have a care plan, and that's very important. And you know, we have done studies to kind of look and see what kind of savings to the community you have by having this resource within the schools. And you know, the care planning is a real important part, because we can reduce then those visits outside to the doctor. The nurse can call and have that kind of conversation with the provider. We do share some of that information, but a lot of times the principals, you know, think they need to know everything about everything. And you know, there is kind of a little boundary with do they really need to know that information. And, you know, that comes from us, from our health kind of background, that we kind of like to protect information a little more. Schools, FERPA is a little more, you know, open about what they can share, and they like to get their hands on everything. And there always has to be a backup, right? There always has to be a plan B. And even though you have this resource in the school, that resource can't be everywhere. That resource has to go to the bathroom and take a lunch break. So you have to have a designee in the school that can kind of at least have some first aid and some training to take over. And teams are important. And you know, the team, particularly with those ESE kids that have special needs, and some of them have real deep end needs, that nurse has to be part of that plan with the teachers and the principals that come together to plan those activities. And parent participation is critical. And you know, the nurses spend a lot of time on the phone trying to track down parents and talk to them to give that information. At one point, we did have to reduce the hours that we had the nurses in the clinics, and that was in our budget crunch about 2 years ago, so that nurses were only there while the kids were in school. And the parents were very upset because they could not talk to that nurse before school or after school. And so that communication about, well, you know, I had to take Johnny to the ER last night and they gave him this or that, couldn't happen easily, you know, because the parents had to get to work maybe, or they had their own obligations. So we were able to increase hours this year, luckily, but parents do participate. Parents do want to make sure their kids' problems are known to the nurse. That will end.